First, I want to open and say thank you for everybody that's helping us at this time and sending donations. Wow, it's just been beautiful. And the emails and the letters to our post office box. We get so excited when we get letters. It's like, wow, it's so exciting. And people from my old church, it's good to hear that you found me again. And just send me an email at a post office box below. Encouragement is always welcome and needed in this hour. It's just so great to know people are listening. And be sure you subscribe again. People have thought I quit preaching because they were unsubscribed, and then they found out they have to look for me now. So it's worth the hunt to not be deceived. Keep looking. So I want to open this morning just a little different because I've been asking you, and I still do, if you would send me an email for what's going on in your part of the world, because we do have a world outreach here with different countries represented, and I want to just share a few of them. I can't get all of them, but I'm just going to share a few, and also just parts of the letters, because otherwise it'd be too long. So just the highlights. The one in South Africa, they're having racial unrest, violence, and torture. The white farmers in South Africa are under heavy attack. As of June 16th, 30 farm attacks have occurred. Their aim is to drive the farmers off the land so they can grab the land. They keep denying it in the media that anything is happening. This is what I'm hearing consistently. The media is not reporting any of the happenings that are really going on in these places. The attached video footage shows an elderly lady and her son after they were attacked, assaulted, and tortured. We saw that video. It was heartbreaking. Very few people abroad are aware. And of course, they're not reporting it. So she said, I've decided to bring this to your attention because we're in desperate need of the outside world becoming aware of this genocide. It's been going on for years, but it's accelerated just the last couple months. And we saw signs from that video, shoot whites on sight. So this is reverse racism now that we're seeing in other countries and coming. What we need more is the rest of the world for praying for the farmers, for their protection and safety. If they leave their farms, the same will happen here in Zimbabwe. Famine, devastation, and anarchy. And then she sent photos and she said, please pray for us.
It's the Marxist ANC.
The Marxist, yes. Yes, absolutely Marxist. And we did share that last week and the week before. If you have not listened to those, catch up on those last videos. This is from Australia. Again, just the highlights. The news has us all living on the edge, waiting for the second wave, saying if we are not careful, we'll be back to stage one. And if you always notice, it's your fault. If there's a surge, if there's another hot spot, it's your fault. And this is all part of the Marxism movement. Blame them. But then they can go on rioting and picketing, and all that's fine. But if you have a picnic or a family, you have to see what's really going on in the framework that's really being set up. So they said, we're in a state of perpetual readiness, acceptance of having our freedoms limited, potential for hostile action from China, commencement of a cashless Australia, signs everywhere in stores, no cash, cash harbors germs, I told you this was coming, introduction of the militia to guard citizens, army has been brought into Victoria to assist with the big V, you know what I'm talking about, control of movement of citizens, now listen to this is in Australia, hard borders, no passing without a license. Remember, we talked about limited traveling. They're going to try to limit it, limiting travel. It's already happening in Australia. No passing without a license, and only then for essential travel and supplies and some compassionate grounds. People saying this could go on for years. Control of citizens' gatherings. The weddings and the funerals are limited. Children are now back in school in Australia. Then they have more financial stimulus packages in Australia. This one is from Ohio. Her husband is a police officer. They're experiencing protesting and riots. All officers are experiencing death threats, being followed home. This is in Ohio. All our local news channels will not report any of it. All they do report is fanning the flames of bad cops, basically, fuel the hate for our officers. Also, last night she went to Walmart and used the same self-checkout she always has, and she always pays cash. There was no more cash option. She asked for help, and the man said, there's a coin shortage because the United States Mint is shut down. So the coins are being eliminated. I was freaked out and posted about it on my Facebook. I had so many comments of people saying the same thing was happening to them. Now from, keep sending me these are great. Oregon, I'm gonna talk to Oregon and Seattle. Seattle first, because this one was in July 1st. Protests daily on the freeways, tear gas, riot gear to control the crowd, police forced to evacuate the West Precinct, mayhem police chief not on the same page. This is what you're gonna find with this, what's happening now with this New World Order. The governor and the mayor, everybody's fighting. This one says this is false. This one says they want this division. They want this chaos. And we're seeing it in the United States. Mayhem. Police chief not on the same page. The governor said he was unaware of anything going on when it was at its worst. Protesters took over an entire area downtown Seattle, named it Chaz and Chop. They wanted to govern themselves. No fire, no police, no medics in or out. The mayor was hands off, deemed it a summer of love. Then there were rapes, and apparently they went after her house, and she stopped it. Protested the mayor's house. Then the mayor said enough. Heavy equipment came in, and then the people, to stop that heavy equipment, they laid in the streets to protest it. Now from Oregon, we just got this one yesterday. This one was kind of a lighter one to end that. My wife and I are so thankful for God that we were led to your website, your church. Truth is so important, and there is so little available today. We are in our upper 70s and did not get saved until we were in our upper 50s. As so many report to you, we have not been able to find a church in Portland that teaches the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Your refreshing outlook and encouragement to do our own research has emboldened us to seek truth on our own. Please keep doing what you do. It is so helpful to so many. Consider us as members of LIHP. We love you. Isn't that sweet? We love you and your love for God. And we do get a lot of emails like that. I just don't report them a lot, but that one was a touching one, so I thought, well, you need to know that people are saying that. Okay, now in Ezekiel 13, let's look today. We're continuing to talk about Ezekiel. The last one we talked about how he was looking through the hole in the wall, and you have to see what's really going on, and you're going to have to know that what appears to be is not really. We talked about the matrix, the blue pill, everything looks one way, but really truth sometimes, the Bible tells us, the truth is going to set you free, but a lot of the things that we are seeing are not setting us free. They're causing us to doubt, to question what we know, question who's leading us, question a lot of different things. But Ezekiel, he stood alone against all the false prophets of Israel. And again, we're going to see the true men and women of God standing are not going to have a great fan club behind them. They're the ones that are going to tell you the truth, probably not what you want to hear, but it's nothing new. In Isaiah 3:12, he said, "O my people, they which led thee, the leaders, cause thee to err." And no, God will place heavy responsibility on preachers that are deceiving God's people on purpose. And there are a lot out there that are calling for great awakenings, unity, and bringing people into a false light. But we've been warned. They prophesied back then in Ezekiel's time and Jeremiah's time, the same they're doing today. Some things never change. They're prophesying peace, ease, and prosperity. They preach flesh pleasing words. They said they were from the Lord. And this is the thing, if someone has a dream, they just say, "God said, God told me this." And that's kind of like a get out of jail free card. Just say, "God said," and you can't question. No, you need to question everybody, everything, and make sure that you're not following some false teaching that makes you feel good and tells you in a day that danger is really lurking, that there's no reason to fear. You know, I heard this great teaching on the New World Order, but then right behind that teaching, because it doesn't matter, we're going to just be out of here. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to prepare. And remember the virgins, the five that were not prepared. These preachers are not preparing you for really what's coming or what's here. If you're not awake, I mean, it's on your doorstep now, what's coming and what's here. And these preachers continually say lies and continually give comforting, ear-tickling messages so that no one gets prepared. And being prepared is a big part of watching and waiting on the Lord and listening. And they want to put you to sleep with comfort and with a good soft pillow. Now in Ezekiel 13, boy, this is a whole chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Son of man, prophesy against. Now true men and women of God have to stand sometimes for things that they'd rather not stand, they would rather not say. Because many true prophets look like false prophets. Because what they're saying is coming, and it looks like it's not here yet, so they're false. Ezekiel looked like a false prophet because at this point in time, things were not happening. We're going to see this. But he's telling them, prophesy against the false prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their what? Their own hearts. They're saying things out of their own hearts. They have seen nothing. They've never really heard things from God, but they're saying it's from God. So people that are easily influenced, well, they said it was from God, so we better follow them. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. And what have they seen?
Nothing.
Nothing. So I said in Matthew 24, it says, do not be deceived in the end times. There's a whole lot of lying going on. So you got to know who the liars are. So then it says, verse 5, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither have made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They're not watching. They're not praying. God holds them responsible for leading people astray. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. There's a whole lot of people saying God said he has not sent them. So who has sent them? Some have sent themselves, some's mothers sent them. Who knows where these people are coming from? And the enemy has sent them. And the end of verse 7 there, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, verse 8, thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and you've seen lies. You've seen lies. So if you see lies, you speak lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. Now in verse 10, because they have seduced my people. Seduced them what? To sleep. Seduced them to think that this is their best life right now, and that if they do this and that and they follow these certain rules and regulations, that this is going to happen to them in this lifetime. They're not preaching the Bible. They're preaching formulas. He said, they've seduced my people, saying peace. Now, that word peace there in the Hebrew means ease, to safety, to rest, prosperity, to be happy. Don't prepare us to stand in battle. We don't want to think there's a battle. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. The problem is now the enemy's invaded our churches, so now people think there's peace and safety, and we're all working together, at home, of course. And we're happy at home. We have comedy hour at home from our preachers. Because they've seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall. Isn't that something about a wall? Even that's in there. And lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. But it talks about the wall's going to fall, verse 12. Boy, this whole chapter is just so great. But verse 16, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord. And he says, likewise, What do you have to do? You have to set yourself against the daughters of my people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy against them. So you have to warn. You have to warn people that there are people in our midst that are goats. They're not sheep. They're not shepherds. They're goats. And they cause harm amongst the true shepherd and the bride of Christ. Prophesy out of their own hearts and prophesy thou, what? Against them. What do they do? Verse 18, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all on armholes. Now look at that word pillows. We're going to talk about pillows for a second. Verse 19, he says, you pollute me among my people. For what? Basically money. For handfuls of barley, for pieces of bread, you slay the souls that should not die and save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Now think about it. This is God's people. And we're supposed to be helping God's people. Lying to God's people? How many know there's going to be a day that God will reconcile all this? And the Bible says we shouldn't fear the enemy who can destroy our body, but we need to fear the Lord who can put us in heaven or hell. We need to fear him. This is his word. We need to have reverence. We don't have any right twisting it, dreaming dreams, telling false lies to people that gives them what? False peace, false security. Everything is false promises. Wow. The Lord said, I'm against your pillows. I'm against your false doctrine. Whew, that's some heavy stuff right there. Verse 22, because with lies you have made the hearts of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and stretched the hands of the wicked. What is really bad about these pillow prophets is they strengthen the hands of the wicked. There's the righteous and the wicked. Call them whatever you want. They're wicked. How do you know? By what they do behind the scenes. Like Ezekiel saw the hole in the wall. He saw what they were doing behind the scenes. He saw the abominations they were doing in God's house, acting like they were working for God, but they were working what? Abominations against the people of God and against God and worshiping other gods. The same is happening today. They strengthen the hands of the wicked, that you should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. So basically here we see they're applying pillows to the elbows. Pillows, and it's funny, not so funny really, but they handed out pillows at a big convention here not too long ago and had pillow fights. Think it not strange. They're passing out pillows today, literally and spiritually. It represents false teaching, false promises. They trust in a lie. They're trusting in a lie. A pillow is a figure of speech, which they promised to everyone that came to them. And what did they do here? They promised them victory over the Babylonians. They said, you don't have anything to worry about. The definition of a pillow, it's used to cushion the head during sleep. So let's just give everybody pillows, tell them all is well. Let's give them great big dreams that this is their breakthrough now. This is your best. This is just, you know, you've been believing for this hour. It has finally come. Represents lies, deception, and making God's people comfortable in a time of danger. Again, we have false prophets, the pillow prophets that are trying to make people comfortable, and we're in dangerous times. If you don't know it, we are in dangerous, dangerous times. The real word of the Lord was found in Ezekiel 12. Let's turn back a page. What was God really saying? We heard what the false prophets were saying. Ease, prosperity, all is well. But God was telling him, verse 12 and verse 17, moreover, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy waters with trembling and with carefulness. What does he said? Because they shall eat their bread with carefulness, drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the what? Violence. We're starting to see violence now in our countries. Because of the violence of all them that dwell therein, and the cities that are inhabited shall be what? Laid waste. And the land shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination, or you could say flattering prophecies. Just come in line and I'll give you a word from the Lord. Those people are scary, dangerous, and they're everywhere. There's going to be no more vain vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. He's calling them a rebellious house because they're following after man, and the pillow prophets are giving them lies, leading them into deception, when really they were in very dangerous troubles. So here we see the true word was called to humility and repentance and be prepared for judgment. The false prophets don't prepare you for repentance, for humility, or for judgments. But here, as in today, they're prophesying revival. They're prophesying the best times we've ever had are coming upon this land. The result was infiltration of the pillow prophets. Another voice, another vision. Everything was different from what the true word of the Lord really was, and Ezekiel was not popular. He was mocked and made fun of, said, you are a prophet of doom. And that's probably one of the biggest things that have come in the body of Christ through the whole positive Norman Vincent Peale era, is you cannot speak truth because it's negative. And that's a good way to get deception in and get truth out. God did not send them or speak for them. Nothing but good times ahead, they say. Peace and unity and togetherness. This should alarm us because now we're seeing the togetherness. Come together, global citizens at home. And unfortunately, many of these pillow prophets were saying, this is a great time to be home. I was listening to them. Being I know some of the agendas, I was just like, the enemy is using the church to get people asleep. Oh, everything's going to be fine. The masses love to hear their pleasant words and called the true prophets like Jeremiah. All of the true men of God were called doom and glooms. Who wants to listen to you? You're nothing but a negative preacher. We want to go where we feel good. And I love it when they hand out pillows. That's really a good pillow. Do you know that? You can go to church and get pillows now? I don't know if you can. It was a season. But for a while, Jeremiah sounded like a false prophet because peace and prosperity continued. There wasn't any danger at that point. They didn't see it. And this is the problem when you're around a watchman. They see in the future. They see way ahead. So they're telling you, there's a bridge out, there's a bridge out. Well, it's fine where I'm driving. There's no bridge out. Well, you better listen because he's warning you of things to come. Well, you're just negative. I think that bridge was built fine. Well, fall and crash and burn then, because the true people of God see. They see beyond what's in the natural. So for a while, they sound like they're off. They sound wrong. But suddenly, what happens sometimes, and this is what happened here, suddenly Nebuchadnezzar and his brutal armies were at the door. Suddenly. The people were taken captive and the pillow prophets were silenced and shamed. The truth stands whether it's popular or not. Let's look at Jeremiah 23 in verse 30. Same kind of thing Jeremiah is dealing with. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. They're really false prophets that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams. They're false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to what? Err. If you're basing your life on some guy's trip to heaven, everyone's having trips to heaven now. If you're not part of this new move, you better, sit down. You got to go to the third heaven. You only went to the first heaven. Well, I'm at third now. I mean, just keep going every day by faith. Let's just take a group with us to heaven today. How ridiculous is this? People are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And he says here, they err by their lies and by their lightness. I mean, you can't help but laugh at some of these visitations. They're light, they're mocking. Oh, Jesus, he came down and played today in my bathtub with me. Seriously? Their lightness, it continues today. I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit. That's why they're called non-profit. They shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Wow. And then verse 36, you have perverted the words of the living God. Wow, to pervert. Doing absolutely the opposite of what's happening, saying the absolute opposite of what's happening. Well, to speak the truth, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your crowds. Jesus said, you want to leave too? I don't think he was too worried about crowds. If you study the life of Jesus, he fought against the religious leaders of the day. Guess what? And so are we. So let me continue with this whole thing. So they don't profit the people. You wonder why all these people are so not alarmed. Oh, everything's going to go back to normal. Let me tell you, things are not ever going to be the way you thought they're going to be. Things are being changed. We're in a new framework of the whole new world order, which I've been preaching for years. But now we have infiltration of the pillow prophets and another voice, another vision, another Jesus, another light. It's a false light. And basically, it's going to take you away from the true light. It's going to take you away from the Bible. It's going to say the Bible needs to be written. It's very narrow way, blah, blah, blah. God did not send them or speak for them. Nothing but good times ahead. Did I already go through this? I think I did. Okay. Now, in verse 19, we read it, but I want to say it again. On these pillow prophets and politicians, I want to add that too. And the world rulers, they have money on their minds. You cannot serve God and mammon. These people that are not Christians or not really believers, they worship money. They do things for money, not for the good of the people. And you have to know there are two kinds of people on the earth. Those that love and they will do things for the Lord, and then there's those that don't really care about people, but if it's going to make them money, that's what they're going to do. That's their motive. They're motivated. They have money on their minds. Coveting has made liars out of them. Same in the church. If you're going to just do things for money, for numbers, for noses, people start lying. And then what happens? Now we have the lukewarm church. Now we have the church of the Laodiceans, which think they're rich. They don't think they have need of anything. And God tells them they're wretched. They're naked. Why? They don't even think they need the Lord. Why need the Lord when they have the power in their own mouth? And they can have what they say. They don't really need, I mean, they're God now. They're little gods. So we have need of nothing. So these prophets have infiltrated, and now money is the motive. Micah, the prophet, said in Micah 3:11, the heads thereof judge for what? Reward. And the priests teach for hire. And the prophets prophesy or divine for money. Yet they say, the Lord is among us. No evil will come upon us. We're going to use churches and do bad things in. We're going to have underground things and pretend it's a church. Guess what? It's not new. It's been in Ezekiel's day too. And that's why God showed him the hole in the wall. Do you want to see what's really going on in my name, in so-called my house? Pillow prophets strengthen the hands of the wicked by ignoring sin. No turning from their evil ways. But instead, what do? Pampered. We want to make you feel good. Come, we're not going to offend you. We're going to have music that everybody's going to like. We're going to have messages that are so lukewarm it won't even offend a baby. But instead they pamper to give someone comfort and whatever they want. You want it? We'll get it. You want coffee? We'll get it. You want donuts? We'll get it. You want movie night? We got it for you. This is the state of our churches, and you wonder why they closed down overnight. We are called to prepare for the darkness that lies ahead. We're called to prepare. The virgins that weren't prepared didn't have oil, right? Well, why would you prepare when everything's so great? All we have to do is go to church and watch a movie and have popcorn. Life is good. We're called to prepare for the darkness that lies ahead, a solemn assembly. We're to have a solemn assembly. And I want to encourage all of you people, get the phone numbers of people, because they're talking a lot about, and as you know, in May, the president did sign an executive order about blackouts. You need to prepare if there is a blackout in your area for a few days. Why? Because dark times are ahead. And dark times are ahead. Yeah, and so we need to prepare. Well, that's unbelief. No, it's not. Joseph prepared for the famine. And he had a lot of faith. And because of his faith, he helped others because he prepared. So it's not fear. It's called preparation. You need to prepare for the dark times. You're called to prepare for the darkness that lies ahead, a solemn assembly, not foolish fun and games and secular movies, comedy shows. What is wrong with you people? Listening to these comedy shows when we're in life and death situations here, freedoms being taken away, the middle class being erased, and you're going to sit and listen to some guy doing stupid stuff? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I cannot believe it. And I know some of these people. This is not the comedy Lucille Ball hour. This is a day for repentance, to get right with God. Our freedoms are being taken away. Everything now, I mean, you just mentioned the virus, and now farmers are going to have to stop. The cash is going to go. Everything now is under different, everything's changed. And it's not going away. Like a lot of people are like, oh, this is just, it's just going to go away. You need to prepare. Just like Ezekiel was telling you, this is not a word that's famous or happy, but you need to prepare. Prepare your hearts and prepare your lives and prepare. A solemn assembly, not foolish fun and games and secular movies. Just remember, Joseph did prepare. And in closing, I want to repeat what I did share last week, because a lot of what we are dealing with, Karl Marxism, the basis of Marxism is atheism, was influenced by George Hegel, who calls for change and invites conflict. They believe unless you have violence and conflict, no change will come. We're experiencing conflict and violence like we never have. 2 Timothy 3:1, perilous times. What does that word perilous there mean? Exceedingly fierce. Anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-moral, anything goes, anti-family. They discredit the family. They want to rename things. They want to reset things. They want to remove history. Study Venezuela and how it began, the fall of Venezuela. And you can see if things do not change quickly for America, even the president said in his last two speeches, we are on our way to Venezuela if things do not change quickly. Infiltrate the churches with social religion. Now everything is socialism. Social media, social distance, social scores, social, everything social, social, socialism. Control of the schools and colleges with socialism and communist propaganda. Get control, this is their goals of Marxism. Get control of the teachers' association. Infiltrate the teachers who are teaching your children. Put the party line in textbooks. There's one party line. Capturing the political parties in the United States is their goal. Are we there yet? Transfer some of the powers of arrest, this is their goal, from the police to what? Social agencies. That sounds so good. Everything sounds so good, but there's an agenda behind it. And if you don't know what the agenda is, you're going to be a pawn in the game, because they play a game in the game. Now, on June 29, 2020, this week, one of its leaders said on national TV that if the country does not give us what we want, then we will burn the system down. The wicked love chaos, because chaos, in those chaotic moments, are opportunities to change things. We now have organized rioters that are Marxist movements disguised as racial unrest. Let me say that again. We now have organized, this is very organized, rioters that are Marxist movements disguised as racial unrest, delivering ultimatums to businesses and schools, do as we say or burn, posted in James Madison University. This is violence. This is violent communism. We are being conditioned, manipulated, and programmed by multiple agencies and talking heads. Now they're using the movie stars, and they're even bringing out athletes that have retired on commercials because they just have to speak up now. If you don't understand this conditioning and this brainwash, I'm having a hard time just watching an old movie because of this commercials that they're putting in there. Movie stars and athletes and propaganda machines, they show these images over and over and over again. Why? Because now we have a generation where they think this is good. They can't stand their parents. They don't like the way of their parents. They want to see change, and they think it's a good thing. And what have they been doing? Conditioning this generation, this coming up generation, to be zombies, to just believe whatever they're told. I mean, you can go out and riot and not get a virus. Did you know that? You can go and protest, but if you sing in a church, if you don't see the double standards of what's coming, and many people don't. They don't see because they're being propositioned, they're being told what to believe. God gave you a brain, would you use it? You need to think. Question things. Well, my governor said this. Well, I question him. Why? Whose script is he following? Well, this one's saying this, so there's a little division. Division is part of this whole framework here. Let me close. So are we living in the Hunger Games when the resistant leaders were part of the problem? Reaction, solution, to get the power and to keep it? This is why we need to watch and pray in this hour. We need to be alert, and we need to know what's going on in our world. And if you have friends in different states, you need to stay connected with them. My sister just went to the hospital in Portland, and she said there was a lot of military on the ground in the hospitals. It was very unorganized and chaotic. And it's like, what are all these military people doing in the new wing of the hospital? Things are changing. Things are changing fast. And we're not supposed to be afraid. We're actually supposed to be very courageous. You know, I was reading that. The fearful, God always told them to go home. You know, if you don't want to go outside, stay home, right? Just stay home. People now are wearing masks in their cars. That's dangerous. You can't even breathe. So soon someone's going to pass out and hit you. You got to watch out for more things now in this hour because people are so freaked out and afraid. They're afraid of everything because of the media is doing it. That is terrorism. That is a mental form of terror. Just turn on, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. So you got to keep a general overview of what's going on, but don't listen to it day in and day out, day in and day out. Because you know what? Fear, the Bible says fear is going to kill people in the end times. You just turn on the TV and they die. Heart attack. Woo. You know, a germ came out of the TV and got me. Fear not. Fear not. I'm just going to close. It's gotten ridiculous, hasn't it? But get the names of your friends and your phone numbers and get together when you can. I don't know, is there going to be a second closing lockdown? God only knows, but they keep giving us hints, don't they? From way back when this started, oh, these pandemics are not going to stop. Once they start, they're going to keep on going. So they know the future. So this should cause you to question and wonder what's going on really behind the scenes. And know that God's told us this is not our home, we're passing through. And you know, if we had to start life over, wouldn't we do it a lot simpler? Probably not try to impress people. Probably not buy such a big house you can't afford, or a ring. When you get engaged, you had to get this ring that you went in debt for because you had to be a certain. All the stuff that we do that we'd probably give someone, you know, a little string and say, love you. We are not going in debt for nobody. We don't have to be in debt. But they want us to live at a higher level. You're just broke at a higher level. So get rid of the debt you can right now. Try not to buy things you don't need and prepare for some darkness that's probably going to happen in this fall time. Father, we pray for all of us. None of us knows what's going to happen, but you said in your word that we need to look through the hole. We need to see what's really going on. We have to question these organizations, these world organizations that are pushing propaganda, they're pushing medicine, they're pushing certain things, and this is how they make their money. So we don't want to be deceived in this end times. Keep us alert. And thank you, Father, for divine connections in this hour. We have friends that we can talk to. and friends that understand, that love you and know that you warned us about these things, that we are living in Matthew 24, even though the false prophets don't even read or preach from that chapter. They act like that page is ripped out of their Bible. But we know hard times and darkness lies ahead. But we thank you, Lord. You are the light, and we walk with you. Give us courage and strength in this time. And everyone said?
Amen. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.